What's up, everyone? Welcome back to another episode of Balls, Sticks, and Fists. It's your favorite show without an intro, and we are live. I'm your host, Keaton, joined by my co-host, Sam, on this Wednesday, October 23rd. Sam, how are you doing today?
Good. I mean, I promise I'm gonna do better this week after two sloppy weeks.
I mean, guys, if you want to make some money, just go opposite of Sam. You'll finish it. You'll finish in the green. I know. I'm looking at this card right now, and I see some familiar faces on it. So we'll see.
They got a hit every once in a while.
Yeah, I think that's a good play this weekend though. But we're nearing the end of the season, week 9. Every game means a little more as you come down the stretch. We're a couple weeks off from the first playoff rankings getting released, which I'm interested to see how the committee goes. But yeah, we got Syracuse at Pitt on Thursday, and then on Friday.
It'll be interesting to see how they rank teams like Pitt over like a one and two loss SEC team and stuff like that.
Yeah, I know that's really my main thing, but I don't think Pitt's gonna be undefeated by the time that poll comes, so I don't think we're gonna have to.
So they play Syracuse, then
SMU, then Boston College, then Clemson.
I mean, they'll beat BC's not that good.
Then Louisville. I mean,
but like Iowa State and like BYU, where do you think they'll be ranked? That's what I don't know.
Yeah, I know. I mean, BYU's still not getting respect. I think BYU might drop one this weekend.
I think so too.
I think it might be time.
Yeah.
I think UCF finally gets that breakthrough win, or that marquee like win that they've, you know, they had Iowa State on the ropes. They had they played Colorado at home and got smacked.
I feel like they played somebody else real tough too.
Yeah, I'm just forgetting.
But I can't remember either.
But yeah, I guess let's go through the news cycle. Pitt hires their new AD, Alan Green. He was Tennessee COO. In the Ole Miss athletic department as well. Buffalo AD and Auburn's AD. I think it was a good hire, someone who's on the forefront of NIL, someone who's been in big athletic departments and kind of knows what a big-time athletic department should run like. So I think
I heard a lot of good things.
Yeah, I mean, I think it was a slam dunk. It's just to see, like, it seems like Pitt has all the right coaches, so he doesn't really need to go out on, like, a head coach search and go find a marquee coach. So it's just really, it's just really retaining those coaches at their position.
As long as Pitt retains their OC for a couple years.
Yes. So, Oklahoma might be going after him, so.
You think Venerables is gone?
I mean, I'm saying Oklahoma is going to go after him as their OC.
I don't know. I feel like switching teams just to go, like, a different coordinator is kind of, like, what's the point, really?
Yeah. But I think Venerables might be gone, though. Just off the basis of you usually see a coordinator go first, and then who's next? You know, you get rid of the guy that's the problem.
He's also in Oklahoma, and they don't like have any patience.
Yeah, I mean, Lincoln Riley, he's not going anywhere, and at SC just because he's got $100 million deal. 10 years.
Yeah, and
ten years.
You need to give those guys like a few years to like change things, though.
Yeah, I know, but we're in such a win now thing with the era that we live in. You see other coaches go places of less prestige, and they're able to win right off the rip.
Yeah, but his defense is like better, way better than they were last year.
Yeah, I mean. I saw someone say
kind of
that
like in the really offense, they haven't been as potent.
Yeah, that's what I've kind of seen. It's I saw someone say that the offense kind of been putting the defense in bad situations. But all right, I kind of counter that though. Like you're going up against a Michigan team who can't throw the ball, and they're running a 2 minute, they're running a 3 minute offense where they can't throw the ball, and you still let them go 75 yards.
But versus Penn State, they had two picks that gave them the ball in like good position, and they only came away with 6 points.
I mean, we'll see. Yeah, you gotta give it time, I guess. But like, I don't know how many
He lost that Maryland game though. It was 4th and 1, and they decided to kick a 48-yard field goal instead of going for it.
Yeah, and it got blocked, and then.
Like, just go for it and end the game.
Yeah. All right, let's get into the preview a little bit. So, starting tomorrow, we have Syracuse at Pitt. Pitt sitting at -6 on ESPN Bet, but on FanDuel, they're 6.5. That hook, I don't know. Because I'm telling you, this game might go to overtime.
Yeah, but I feel like as long as you get it under, 7, you're fine.
Yeah,
because they can win by a touchdown.
Yeah, but if they don't kick the extra point in overtime, then it's just a walk-off touchdown.
Why are you thinking this is going to overtime?
Bro, I've seen so many Pitt Thursday night games to know what kind of game this is going. What's the weather in Pittsburgh tomorrow? Is it raining? If it's raining, because it further proved my point, this game's going to overtime. So.
No, it's clear sky.
Damn, it's going to be a nice Thursday game, too. I might have to catch a flight tomorrow and then leave Friday just to go see Pitt Syracuse.
I feel like they're kind of avoiding the Pitt games this year, though.
Who?
Like Pitt, like the Pitt type games they've kind of been avoiding.
Yeah, I mean, I would knock on wood after saying that, but
I mean, I don't care.
Yeah, I care though. yeah, but this is a get back game for Narduzzi, because I don't know if you remember last year against Syracuse, Spencer Schrader was out. Like, it was whenever he played.
They ran Wildcat the entire time.
Yeah, because Schrader hurt his throwing shoulder or whatever, and they didn't have a quarterback that could throw. So they literally ran Wildcat with their tight end and beat Pitt. Pitt couldn't stop the tight end at quarterback. Like, it was the most insane thing. And Narduzzi mentioned in his press conference, he's like, yeah, I went back and watched last year's game, and man, that was brutal. Like, this is a major get back spot for Narduzzi, I think. I think he's
they're also coming off a bye.
Yeah, well, Syracuse is too, but I think Narduzzi's kind of in this revenge type tour this year.
Yeah, we'll see. We'll see. I remember watching that game last year actually, and I don't know how they didn't win.
It was kind of brutal, though.
Yeah, I mean, how many times did they run the ball?
Every snap besides maybe 2.
Which, I want to go look at the box score.
Yeah, go look at the box score. But I'm going to talk about Kyle McCord a little bit. So I went I didn't mention. I mentioned in the recording prior to this that, I went back and I watched Syracuse versus NC State 2 weeks ago. And it seems like Kyle kind of knows where he's going pre-snap.
Yeah.
It seems like he's, first read type quarterback. I could be wrong. Just from what I watched in the NC State game. Not really off schedule that much. And against NC State, when they blitz, how Narduzzi's going to blitz the heck out of him, because that's what he does. It seems like his go-to route to counter the blitz was the underneath crosser on basically all the blitz packages I saw that were in the little short film I watched.
Yeah, and if he's blitzing every time, I mean, in their lead, missing their leading receiver.
Yeah. But it's I wish, against Cal, he didn't really switch up, the blitz package. It was kind of the MO, oh, it's third down and, here comes a big blitz, Sometimes I wish he would, which he does sometimes, but sometimes on 3rd and 17, you'll have to send the house.
Yeah, that's exactly how Manny was, though.
Yeah, but because they know it's drop it back, show that you're playing man, but really drop into a zone, and then maybe you force a mistake. 3rd and 17,
yeah.
They got their hot receiver and off the blitz, and they're kind of just feeding him, and then you shouldn't be giving up a 3rd and 17. You probably shouldn't
Yeah,
be
all they have
saying.
to do is run a little screen and it could pop. I checked last year. They ran it 64 times.
Yeah, how many passes?
Five, I think.
That's impressive.
And they won 28-13.
That team last year was something else, man. Like, go back and watch a Pitt game last year and try not pull your eyeballs out or, like, die of laughter of what's happening on the field on the offensive side of the ball. I'll be interested if Syracuse tries to push the ball down the field with how Pitt's defensive scheme is.
I feel like they should just because of how, like, Pitt's games have gone when they faced, like, a pretty decent offense.
Yeah. I think Pitt, though, on the offensive side of the ball, I think it's going to be a get-back week on the offense just because the offense really didn't play that well against Cal. And then just watching Syracuse's defense, I think there's going to be some spots for some explosives.
Yeah, I mean, Stanford pretty much did whatever they wanted.
Yeah, it's like Stanford beat the Syracuse team, and like Stanford's not that good of a football team.
No, they're pretty bad.
And like Syracuse couldn't get anything going against them.
Yeah.
So
and
like
McCord was throwing picks all over the place.
So it was like Syracuse, like not that like. Did Syracuse luck their way into five wins, just like how they're claiming Pitt lucked their way into six? I mean, they could have, because I think UNLV should have stopped them on 4th-and-1, if I recall. So,
yeah.
You know, so maybe the Syracuse squad isn't as good as people think.
Yeah, McCord threw two picks in that Stanford game. And both of them were pretty bad, if I remember.
Yeah, so I think... I mean, Narduzzi was really complimentary of McCord, which I expect. I mean, they recruited him early in high school, but kind of obviously fell off because. I think like when McCord entered the portal, it wouldn't have surprised me if Narduzzi was a little bit of interest in him. Out of the portal last year.
He also like you can't. I feel like it's better just to build the opposing team up, anyways.
Yeah, I mean, he's like, man, I don't know what happened at Ohio State, but I wish he was back there right now instead of preparing for him now. So, you know, Narduzzi's going to try and get him off his spot and really rattle him into bad decisions and stuff like that.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like they have to since Pitt's secondary is kind of, yeah. You don't want to sit back.
Yeah, it's definitely a down year in the secondary.
For what their defense has been, it's kind of a down year.
Yeah. Which is crazy because they run, it's weird how they just like every like 2 or 3 years they just like produce like NFL corners.
Yeah.
Let's go into Friday night's game. Boise State -3.5 at UNLV.
Yeah, I mean I honestly have no idea what's gonna happen in this game.
I mean if And it's there's probably gonna be some wild stuff that happens. I mean, 10:30. What time's the kick? 10:30.
Let me check. Is it 10:30?
I think it's 10:30.
I thought
it was 10:30.
Wow.
On Friday night. I mean, if you want to watch some wild things happen, I mean, I hope I can stay. I mean, I'm not. I'm gonna be up for this game. I don't know what I'm saying.
You can drink one of your 6 ounce Red Bulls or 8 ounce Red Bulls.
Yeah, I definitely have a Red Bull in the fridge that I'll be indulging in. But I guess the main battle is Genty versus the run defense of UNLV. Because, in my opinion, watching Boise State, they don't really have much outside of Genty. And I could be wrong. I haven't watched a lot of Boise State football. I mean, the only Boise State football I've really watched is them against Washington State and them against Oregon.
I mean, if you stop them, you're going to win, but nobody's been able to stop them.
I know. It's like, dude. Just stop them. Like, come on, just stop. It's, like, not that easy. It's not that easy. I mean, I would love to see a Boise State player win the Heisman, but I kind of hope he has a down game against UNLV here.
Or it could be, like, a Heisman moment.
I mean, I just think UNLV has more weapons.
Yeah, I mean, they have a better all-around team, but...
They have the run game. They have Ricky White at receive. Like, dude, this Ricky White character, I mean, he's great. He'll put 170 yards on your head, and then he'll go out and block a punt. He has three
I
plunk.
haven't been able to watch a full game since the Sluka was quarterback.
Oh, dude, it's great. Dude, Ricky White goes for 170. He's on teams blocking punts. Like it's good stuff that they have down there.
Yeah, I mean, this should be like what's the over under in this game? A lot.
I'll go to our proud sponsor FanDuel for a second. Not actually a sponsor, not false advertising either. Disclaimer. So
64.
it's 64.
Yeah, on ESPN bet it's 64.5.
64.5 on FanDuel.
I kind
Dude,
of I would take the over, but
someone's on their back porch just blasting like a TV show or something.
I don't hear anything.
Yeah, so I think this is an exciting game. I think it's gonna be a great game. These teams matched up last year, in the Mountain West Championship game. Boise State took that. They took that. I don't know why I can't find it. Yeah, they took it 44-20.
Against
Who?
who'd they play? Oh, you're
Boise
talking about
State versus
you.
UNLV in the
Okay.
Mountain West Championship last year.
This was the conference championship last year.
Yeah, and Genty went 21 carries, 153 yards, and one touchdown.
I mean, I expect him to have like 300 yards rushing.
Don't know, dude. This UNLV team's good. Like, I'm so disappointed that they lost against Syracuse, man. Oh man, they almost, damn.
How much they how much in the like how many yards in the run did they give up against Syracuse? I guess Syracuse
They
really don't run the ball a lot.
so they gave up 137 yards rushing.
On how many carries?
So Allen had 19, Willis had 8, McCord had 4.
Probably sacks.
Well, 4 for 22. So
Oh,
it wasn't negative.
yeah.
Their receiver had 1 for minus 5, and then their punter had 1 for minus 13. Because Ricky White's out here. Ricky White's out here blocking punts. I think he had 2 against Syracuse.
Yeah, I mean it's a great game to like lead into Saturday for sure.
It's just like that game's not gonna finish till 3 a.m.
Yeah, I'm definitely falling asleep at
You can't though, unless Genty's like 350 yards at half and like it's
halftime.
not even a game.
Watch it just be like a low scoring like slugfest.
It's impossible with these two teams. It's impossible. I'm telling you right now. I've watched. It is absolutely impossible.
I don't know who that favors more, though.
Dude, in a shootout though, you kind of have to favor the team who can move the ball vertically with the throw, no?
Yeah, but Genty's basically like the quarterback and the receiver.
It's like I saw a stat on Genty like in a loaded box, like he's still averaging like 7 yards a carry whenever they load the box
Yeah.
anyways, so it
I mean,
doesn't
I'd just put 8. Go man up.
I well, all right, this is what worries me. What worries me is this whenever the secondary is gonna have to come up and make a tackle on Genty. I've seen it too many times the secondary miss tackles, so or not wrap up, like he's just gonna bounce right off you if you don't wrap, so
Yeah, I haven't watched a shit ton of Boise State, but like, is there like O-line like really good then?
well, it's not even like his yards after contact like is like high too. So he's like breaking tack. It's not like he's
Yeah,
just like
yeah.
running these like 7 yards scot-free. Like
Oh, I know that, yeah, but
he's
like, is their
breaking like
O-line
three.
like supposed to be good? I guess?
I
I don't know.
guess. I guess. I guess we'll find out. I'm really interested to see this matchup.
Yeah, it should be a fun game.
10:30 at night's brutal though, dude.
Yeah, why couldn't they start at like 9?
Vegas, dude. And then to cap off your night, you got Rutgers at USC that kicks off at 11.
Oh, I know. I was thinking about taking USC.
You want to talk about a brutal game? You can get tickets in the Coliseum for as low as $10.
That's crazy.
You can't even get footlong at Subway for less than $10 these days, but you could go down to the Coliseum and watch Rutgers at USC for 10. That's crazy. Oh my lord, what are we doing these days, man?
All right. Rutgers really fell off, dude. Like, they're getting blown out by 40 every week now.
I know. I mean, that's classic Rutgers, you know?
Yeah.
That's just the ML. Notre Dame minus 13 versus Navy on a neutral site in MetLife Stadium in New Jersey. I mean, yeah, I'll be honest. I haven't watched Navy this year. I went back and I watched their last game against Charlotte. And, you know, they do a couple things, man. They can either spread you out in the gun or they're, you know, ground and pound. So.
Yeah, I mean, I feel like Notre Dame losing Benjamin Morrison and who else? They lost their left tackle to start the year. But
yeah,
who else on defense? I feel like they lost other guys.
I know for sure Morris. I haven't really been up to date with Notre Dame football. It seems like, I mean, since Louisville.
I know. I just feel like 13, like, spread-wise is a little too much for this game, because if Navy puts together a couple scoring drives just running the ball, that's going to take, like, 8 minutes.
Yeah, and I feel like Navy's played Notre Dame tough in the past, no? Or am I tripping?
No, I think they have. But, and also, like, I think Navy's, like, actually a good team. Like,
yeah,
they're not just undefeated for, like, they didn't luck into being 6-0 or whatever.
No, they're beating the dog breaks off these teams.
Yeah, and they really haven't had a close game.
Yeah, I mean, dude, if Marcus Freeman drops this one, I mean, if you're a Notre Dame fan, if you haven't lost faith in him, like, I think you're kind of losing faith if you lose this game.
Yeah, though, if you lose to Navy.
I mean, just off the basis of, like, what are we doing here, Marcus? You know?
Yeah.
You know what I'm saying?
I haven't watched Notre Dame since Louisville, though. I haven't seen how, like, Riley Leonard's playing or anything.
I mean, it's probably the same. He's probably putting up 100 yards passing and, like, 150 on the ground.
Yeah.
I mean, I'll go to the box score of their last game against Georgia Tech.
I guess that's why Elko never brought him to Texas A&M.
So he was 20 of 29 for 203 yards passing, one interception. And then their leader receiver was Love with three receptions and 57 yards.
So checkdowns and screens.
All right, now let's go to against Stanford, who they beat 49-7.
I think that was all runs too.
16 of 22, 229, three touchdowns. Love had six carries for 53 yards, one TD. Collins, leading receiver, four receptions, 85 yards. I mean, dude, this Stanford team's not good, and Syracuse lost to them, you know?
Yeah, I know. It's making me want to take Pitt, but I'm not touching the Thursday game.
Lay off them. All right, against Louisville. Against Louisville, Leonard was 17 of 23, 163 yards, two touchdowns. He was also the leading rusher, 13 carries, 52 yards, one touchdown.
Yeah, Notre Dame got a lot of turnovers, right?
Really? Yeah.
Special teams.
Against
play.
Miami of Ohio, 16 of 25, 154, one touchdown. But he had 12 carries for like 124 yards. You know, like, I don't know. Is he, like, what's the game plan here against Navy?
Yeah, I don't know.
Why is Love not getting more raw, like, tote carries? He should be toting the rock, no?
Maybe because they're blowing everybody out? I don't know.
I don't know, dude. Six carries is astronomical. He only has 462 yards on the year.
They're saving for Navy.
77 carries, 7 touchdowns on the year, so.
Yeah, that's not very many.
I mean, let's see Leonard's stats.
He carries the ball a lot.
His rushing stats. I mean, so Purdue 11, Miami Ohio 12, Louisville 13, Stanford 6, Georgia Tech 10. I've never been high on Riley Leonard.
I was at Duke, if you remember last year, but.
Yeah, I never understood that because I never saw the vision in him.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, they won a lot of games at Duke.
Yeah, I know, but
he could throw the ball at Duke. Like, he can't, like, throw the ball now. It's really weird.
It's weird. Quarterbacks go to Notre Dame and they just totally forget how to
throw a
throw.
ball.
I mean, Tyler Buchner, like, top rated quarterback, decides to change his throwing motion going into Notre Dame and then totally forgets how to throw a football. Now he's like a holder and signal caller for Notre Dame. They ran a fake field goal with him.
Really? I didn't even know he was still there.
Yeah, so what happened, little lore for you. So he went to Alabama. He got the
I know that,
because Tommy Rees, I mean, I never understand why Saban hired Tommy Rees. Literally one of the worst. I said it last year. I was like, why are you hiring Tommy Rees? This is a terrible hire. Dude cannot run an offense. He brings Buchner over, and he was always pushing Buchner over Milroe. Like, he always wanted Buchner.
Yeah, because he started the USF game.
Yeah, so Milroe got benched. He started the USF game. And then obviously didn't go. They damn near lose to USF. And then, that was Buchner. After the season, he ended up transferring back to Notre Dame to play lacrosse. So then he was a lacrosse player. Then he walked on to the Notre Dame football team. He wears number 26 now. He does the holds on field goals and he singles in plays also.
Yeah, that's kind of wild. You went from, like, the starting quarterback to playing lacrosse.
Don't change your throwing motion. That's what, like, Mikal Bridges just decided he was going to change his fucking how he shoots a basketball. Like,
yeah, that is terrible. It's broken.
He decided to change his basketball shot years into his professional career and 20-plus years into playing basketball. Let me just change how I shoot a basketball. And then he switched.
Well,
it back.
It was kind of broken at Nova, but he fixed it. And then I don't know if he got hurt or something, like Markel Fultz.
Yeah.
I don't know.
So I'm actually really interested to see how Navy matches up against another top team in the country, because
we got to be a player.
We got some interesting playoff scenarios here. Just off the basis of. The American winner is either going to be Navy or Army. And those teams might be undefeated. So the Navy or Army might get the first round bye.
They could.
Because the BYU champ, I mean the PY, the Big 12 champ is going to drop a game. And if Army or Navy doesn't drop a game,
But if it's one loss, I feel like they'd put it in, bro.
I don't know, though. How are you going to knock a Navy team who has a winner over Notre Dame?
Yeah, that's true. I also think they both play Notre Dame, right?
I also have a question. Yeah, Army plays Notre Dame 11-23. I got a question. Yeah. I got a question. Hold on. So... they play 12-14.
Yeah. Like Army-Navy, are you saying?
Army-Navy plays December 14th.
Yeah, they can play in the conference. They only agreed to join the American if when they played it wasn't a conference game. It's its own game. So they could play in the conference championship before and be in the playoff and then play the game.
Yeah, this is my question though. Say hypothetically, I'm not saying this is gonna happen because both these teams have to play Notre Dame, which is a top 15 team in the country, but let's just say hypothetically both these teams beat Notre Dame. Both these teams are 11-0 and they play in the conference championship game. Okay.
Yeah.
So are they both in the American?
Yeah, they're both in the same.
Okay, so say they're the two top teams in the American, and they play in the American Championship 12-7.
Yeah.
Are they still playing? And then they play 12-14 too.
Yeah, they're playing. Like they only agreed to it if it wasn't a conference game. They wanted it to be its own game.
Yeah, so they can play twice.
Like, the playoff will be decided before they play that game.
Yeah, okay, then I have another question. So then they do that, all right? And then the playoff committee has to like make a decision on this team who still has one team left on the. Like, I am like so confused on like the logistics of this. Do they not think like this could ever happen?
No, I like when you go to Army and you go to Navy, the only game you really care about is Army Navy. So I
yeah,
don't
I know,
really think
but
they
you could end
cared.
up like playing them twice within 2 weeks. No,
I don't think they probably weren't expecting both to go undefeated.
Like, I'm just like wondering, like, so these teams are gonna beat the shit out of each other 2 weeks in a row.
Yeah, that would be ass playing in that game. It's just
like back to back weeks. Like, holy shit!
Yeah,
man. let's line up and do it all over again. Like,
but if you're Navy, they wouldn't do that just because that's the only game they care about. Like, if you're
and
Navy
plus, like,
and you win, like, do you rest your starters?
I mean, it's like. It's tough because it's just a it's a I think it's oh no dude I never
it's just like this year I mean what
because
was it
most
Arizona
likely
Arizona State not a no Oregon State Arizona or there was I think it was Utah Arizona State or something wasn't a conference game.
Oh yeah, it was Arizona, Kansas State, or
yeah, because they had like a mutual agreement to play a non-conference scheduled already.
Yeah, I'm not even worried about that. I'm worried like I like it not being a conference game. Like, I don't care about that. It's the fact of the, like just the logistics of the schedule.
Yeah, I mean, they
okay.
probably didn't think they'd be in the championship.
When's the first round of the playoff? 12-20 something.
Yeah, they just don't get a bye.
So you play. So all right. So you play in your conference championship game. Then you play the week, like the Noel week, and then you play in the playoff.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm looking at the American Conference rankings right now, and they have a very good chance of both those teams being the top of the standings. It's Army.
Yeah.
Army, Navy, Tulane are both all undefeated in the conference.
Does Tulane play either one?
So Tulane will play. What's today's date? The 23rd. So they play at Navy 11-16.
They don't play Army.
No.
It's kind of a raw deal.
I mean, Army's already has six conference games. They've played all conference games besides one. They're 6-0 in conference. Their only non-conference opponent was Lehigh.
But both their like all their games, like both teams have not been close at all.
I know. I mean, on their schedule they have East Carolina, Air Force, North Texas, Notre Dame, UTSA, and Navy left.
Yeah, that's not like that hard.
And the Navy games and FedEx Field, where the Commanders play this year.
It's in Annapolis.
Well, it's not Annapolis.
It's DC, but Annapolis is right there.
Yeah, it's closer.
Like, that's a home game for Navy.
Yeah, but you know how it goes at those games.
Yeah.
All right, let's go into Illinois at Oregon. Oregon going to beat the brakes off Illinois?
I don't think so. I think Illinois is going to give them a tighter game.
Dude, I don't know. I don't know if I'm sold on this Illinois team.
I'm not, like, I think they just showed they can play. Like, I mean, they went into Penn State. I mean, Penn State should have beat them by more, but they didn't look terrible. And they played back-to-back weeks, and they can score. I mean, it was against Purdue, but they put up 50 points.
Isn't it weird how, like, Illinois' attack has been more so through the air?
Yeah, they haven't been running as much. Yeah.
Than on the ground this year?
Yeah. I like them to – I like the plus 21.5, just keep it close. Like, I don't think it's going to be a blowout.
That's a 3 – is these, that's a 3:30 or night game?
3:30.
I mean, I think Illinois can challenge Oregon a little bit, but I don't think they're going to be able to, like, pull off the upset. I mean,
I don't think they're going to upset them, but I think they can keep it within 21.
I mean, if Oregon gets past this, I think it's wraps that they're gonna go 12-0.
Yeah, this is like their really only tough game, right?
Yeah, I mean they go
I
into
feel like they
Michigan.
play somewhere at somewhere where it could be like.
I mean they're at Michigan next week.
Yeah, but they don't even know who their quarterback is, and it's week eight.
I mean, they might be
Or week nine.
holding tryouts.
West, they play at Wisconsin too. Who's kind of turning it on right now?
I mean, I'm interested to see the Wisconsin Penn State game. I could see a little upset action brewing down there in Madison.
Yeah, I'm kind of nervous about this game. Should we just go into that one, I guess?
I mean, I don't have next. All right, hold on. Let's just go through Missouri, Alabama, real quick, because I'd rather finish with Penn State instead of finishing with like a game. You know, Missouri at Alabama. Alabama minus 13.5. Missouri's missing their star running, their starter running back. He's gonna be out.
Is Cook good? I mean, he came back in.
Yeah,
I guess he's
you
fine.
know Drinkwitz isn't gonna sit Cook or anything like that because he would have
Yeah,
a date
I
his
think
own.
he's pretty banged up if I'm.
Yeah, but you know Drinkwitz loves him some Brady Cook. I mean,
I mean, he's Drew Pine as the backup. When he got hurt, I was like, oh, they got like a starter. Like he started before. Like he should be serviceable. I don't know how he's still quarterback in Division One.
I mean Notre Dame to Arizona State to Mizzou. I mean,
Yeah.
dude, we got career backups in college football nowadays that just bounce around programs and are backups. That's where we're at in
That
college football. Isn't that
I know
crazy?
that's it's nuts.
Isn't that crazy? We got our who was a good backup in the NFL?
I
We got
mean,
our
Chase Daniel was a backup.
yeah, we got our Chase Daniels. I mean Matt Castle played a little bit. I think
Yeah,
that's
Castle, I mean, he came in big. He
yeah.
did start, but too, but
Yeah, I mean, we just got career backups now, which is crazy.
Matt Flynn.
I mean, the Lions. I mean, Matt Flynn owns the Lions, or owes the Lions every bit of that contract he got. I mean, that was crazy. 400 and something yards on that defense, and he got like 70 M's off that. That's crazy.
Know.
That's crazy. I mean, Brock
He got a
Osweiler.
big payday just because of one game.
Yeah, because he beat up on one of the worst teams in the league. Let's give this man a bag. Jeez, Louise, that's crazy. Yeah, I like Alabama bouncing back here.
I do too, but
I'm not
I
taking
can't
them.
take them.
I'm not taking them. I wanted to, but I'm like, I don't trust his coaching staff. I saw a tweet. It said, "Kalen DeBoer already ruined everything that Saban built for all those years."
That's a pretty harsh tweet.
I mean, dude, is there soft? Well,
I
hold on,
know.
hold on, hold on, hold on. I didn't mean soft. They're just not the same. Like, you can tell, like, the edge isn't there on the field.
They're not as disciplined, yeah.
Not as disciplined. Like, you got, like we mentioned yesterday, you got players doing fadeaway step back threes on QB sneaks. Like,
On fourth down.
you got, let's go back to the Vandy game. You got your defensive captain throwing
Yeah.
mouthpieces, kicking the ball, throwing a tantrum on the field. Like, this is. If that shit happened with Saban,
Yeah, I know.
whoo!
I want to
I would
take them
not
too,
want
but like
to be in that locker room.
I just can't trust them. Like
There's no. Like, it's like, oh, dude, this Alabama team's gonna click, right? It's just gonna open it up. But like we said a couple weeks ago, sometimes you just can't turn it on. Like, it's just not
Yeah.
there. Like, you can't just magically snap your fingers one day and you're just gonna put up 60.
It
And
just
that's
in my mind that first quarter versus Georgia, though, like that's
yeah.
just.
And then you have this Mizzou team, who they haven't been able to click all year. It's crazy. I mean,
I mean, their defense has been playing really good too, which makes me not want to take Alabama.
yeah, I mean, I think Alabama wins, but I think it's gonna be in between that 3 to 3 and 8 point range.
Yeah, I don't expect a blowout, honestly.
Yeah, Texas minus 18.5 at Vandy. Is Vandy like all on their like all up on their tippies now?
Yeah, they think they're gonna upset them, I think. I really love Texas in this spot. I don't think Vanderbilt's good at all.
I've it's gonna be interesting, man. Hold on, here comes the train.
Yeah, I heard it. Yeah. That's a loud ass train.
Oh, dude, my bedroom's on the other side. And dude, that thing come like sometimes middle of the night four, and it's just not like a it's not like a cargo train path either. It's like the what's that train service? Not Greyhound. Where are the train service that like travels all through the U.S.? Like I could get on this train and go to fucking Pittsburgh on the train, you know?
Yeah.
Like so, it's like an active train, and sometimes I'll just be like looking at it, and I see like people just like riding in the train. If you're on the back porch and that train comes, like it actually like might blow your eardrums out. Like
Really?
it is brutally loud if you're outside.
Well, that was pretty clear, and I'm through a camera on my computer.
Yeah. Texas, I like Sark in this position. I'm not gonna take him though. But after getting like, kind of checked and kind of at home, I feel like that's a good get back spot for Sark to really like kind of put his foot down.
Yeah, if Texas is really good, though, like what everybody thinks, then
But
they'll blow this team out.
I don't think Texas is that good.
I
And
don't think they're that good, but I think they're good.
I'm gonna
Like,
go back to something, man. I'm gonna go back to something. Just give me a second while I go back to something.
I also just don't think Vandy's really good either, and they're just like kind of hanging on that Alabama win.
I mean, yeah, Ball State had them tied in the fourth quarter before they kind of pulled and won that
Yeah, I mean,
game.
they lost to Georgia State.
Yep, they did lose to Georgia State also. But I look at this Texas squad, man. 35-13 against Mississippi State. I mean, 51-3 against UL Monroe, 56-7 UTSA, 31-12 Michigan, 52. Like, what is this schedule, man?
Yeah, I know they kind of lucked out at the beginning of the year. You're probably like, "Oh, they go to Michigan like early in the year," but they turned out to be a complete dud of a
Bro,
team.
literally, what is this schedule? Why the hell was Oklahoma the 18th ranked team in the country whenever they played?
Yeah, that's what I don't understand. How is I don't
Oklahoma can't score a touchdown.
know.
It wouldn't surprise me if they don't score a touchdown the rest of the year. Like, they literally cannot score a touchdown. And 2 straight weeks, they have not scored a touchdown.
Yeah, and I don't see them scoring one anytime soon.
They're at Ole Miss. I mean, the next touchdown I see is against Maine. Against Maine.
Maybe.
And then they might not score for the rest of the year at Missouri, versus Alabama, at LSU. This
Yeah,
team
they're terrible.
in their final 6 games is going to score less than 100 points.
Yeah.
I mean, okay, in their last 8 games they're going to score less than 100 points. In their
Yeah, I mean,
last two
I could say their last six, they might not score 60.
Their last 2 games, they have 12 points combined. The only thing that's going to skew that a little bit is the Maine, and they might put up 20 points.
Yeah. I mean, the only thing that would skew it is just like the garbage time.
I don't think. I don't think Texas is what people thought, and
No, but I
their
think they're
offense
good,
looked.
but
Their offense looked lost against
yeah.
the Georgia team that was just showing them different looks and stuff. I mean, if Texas went up against the Ohio State that went up against Oregon, then yeah, they could do some damage because Ohio State's going to sit in their base defense. They're not going to show anything exotic, not going to show anything different. They're going to show that they're only sending 4 people on the defensive line. Linebackers are going to drop back, and that's what they're going to show. Because that's what Ohio State does. They don't want to show anything exotic for any other reason. They just want to sit in a base defense that I can run on NCAA Football 25. That's what they do, and I'm looking forward to hopefully that changes and hopefully we get something different. And hopefully when it's 3rd and 8, they don't drop their 2 defensive ends. Like that's the most asinine shit I've ever seen.
Somehow we're talking about Texas when we got onto you shitting on Jim Knowles again.
I was just saying, like, Texas against, like, a defensive team that's not going to, like, show anything, like, exotic like Georgia was showing.
Yeah, I think they just – that was their welcome to the SEC moment.
I mean, dude, the pictures that were created during that game were great. The guy in the crowd, yeah. Arch and Quinn on the bench, like, that is great. That was great content.
I do think that Texas blows them out, though. Vanderbilt is not good.
Dude, what if they take the goalpost down again and they jump it in the river again? What if they do that?
And then Texas is out of the playoff.
Oh, dude, I'd love for all the big brands besides like OSU to be out of the playoff. That'd be great.
Yeah, because that could happen.
Dude, I mean,
it's not all the big brands. What are you talking? Like LSU, are they a big brand?
I'm saying like Alabama, Texas,
okay. Clemson. Those.
I mean, Clemson's gonna be in. I mean, I don't know. Clemson might, when they go to Akershur.
It's just going to be weird how they judge these teams that play in the conference championship.
Yeah, I know. Like, are they, like, okay.
Like, if Miami and Clemson both have one loss in their conference championship, does the loser, like, get punished and you put another 11-1 team? You know what I mean?
Yeah, I know. It's weird because it's, like, almost like, you should be locking up those two spots, like
yeah,
because I don't think you should be like punished for like losing that game here, say.
And it's absolutely like going to happen in the SEC championship where like a two loss team is going to get in, and if they lose a third, then another two loss team like could jump them.
The problem is like all these 11-1 teams that could come from the Big Ten.
Yeah, I know. Like what? There's a world where Indiana, Ohio State, Oregon, and Penn State all only have one loss.
Illinois, too.
Yeah.
If they beat Oregon, there's a good chance
that
they
finish. That's what I meant. Yeah, yeah, yeah.
You know? And then what? Like, how many Big Ten teams was that? Six that you just said?
Four. Five.
Five?
I mean,
like 11-1 in the Big Ten. You're saying they're not one of the top 12 teams in the country?
Yeah, I know. I don't know how you judge it.
The thing is, all right, I'm gonna go out on a whim. This is what I'm gonna say: the SEC and the Big Ten need to get this SEC Big Ten challenge finalized for next year, or whenever.
You think it's gonna happen?
You have to. You gotta like. You gotta. I think you have to.
But how's that going to work? I thought you said they wanted eight teams.
Well, in the playoffs. I'm not saying with the automatic bids. I'm just saying like how in basketball. Like, screw the automatic bids thing. Screw that. Let's just have an SEC Big Ten challenge. Like, and the
non-conference. So it eliminates all the, well, he's 11-1, 10-2.
Yeah. And then ACC and Big 12. Let's do an ACC Big 12 challenge. I know
yeah,
that ACC's
like screw
kind
the
of
cupcakes.
Already,
it's not doing anything.
Yeah, because you're just gonna get a bunch of teams that are 11-1.
Yeah,
who lose it's easier, the who, like, who lose the one big losses. Game? Yeah, who lose the one big game on their schedule? But guess what? They're still 11-1. And yeah. Then soon we're gonna have like 14, 15 teams that are 11-1.
I mean, you could say that about Penn State if they lose to Ohio State. They lost the only good game they played.
Yeah, but they beat Illinois, who could also be 11-1.
Yeah, I know.
And they went on the road to Wisconsin. They, you know, and then I don't know.
It's pulling teeth, really. Like, it's not like.
Is 12-team playoff not enough? Are we gonna have to go to 16?
16.
Like, I don't want to do it, man. I don't want to do it.
You know what's going to happen in all this is people are going to start bitching about the group of five being in because they're taking up a spot.
Yeah, but this is what you guys cried for, the group of five, and everyone getting a chance. Like, it's like, shut the fuck up. This is what you guys wanted. And if 12's not enough, 16's not going to be enough, and then 18's not going to be enough, and then soon they're going to be playing March Madness 64 teams, and we're only going to be playing an 8-game regular season because we got to play 20 playoff games to make everyone fucking happy. So that's what we're dealing with right now.
Yeah, I think at the by the end of the year it'll work itself out though. I mean,
That's what
there's
we're
gonna be
saying, but
snubs.
like a lot of these teams that don't play
There's gonna be
anymore.
snubs. There's snubs in every type of format there is. There's
I
snubs
know.
in March Madness. There, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but I'm worried about where like I really gotta see this first ranking of the
I know it
12.
really will tell a lot.
I really gotta see it, but like we've seen such change from the first week to the last week. Like think about it. Mississippi
Oh,
State
yeah.
was number one. Like there's Ohio State in the first playoff rankings that they won, they were ranked like 14th.
Yeah.
And they climbed their way all the way up.
I mean,
So,
it's gonna be fine, I feel like.
but I don't know, it's weirder because I feel like we're running out of time a little bit. There's only a month left in the season.
Yeah, but like all the big games are coming up.
I wish the playoff rankings, I wish they didn't do it the first week of November. I wish it was like November 29th.
I thought they like do it. They don't do it every week. Yeah, they do it every week.
They do it every week for the rest of the season after the
Yeah,
first
so
week.
why do you care if it does it earlier?
Because I'm anxious and I just want to see it.
You want them to do it now is what you're saying.
Yeah, because I just want to see
Yeah.
it.
Yeah.
But Florida State at Miami, Florida State sitting at 1-6. They had a Florida State fan do a reverse jinx and he actually ate dog shit.
They did. He did eat it.
Nope, not the original guy. There was the guy
Oh.
who's trying to reverse the curse of the dog shit, so he said that he's gonna take one for the team, and
I
he
didn't even
ate.
see that.
He said if they lost to Duke, he would do it to try and reverse the thing. So,
Oh, dude, that's so disgusting.
I guess we're gonna see. What if Florida State comes out and beats Miami?
No. I love Miami here. I mean,
I like Miami.
Florida State can't move the ball. And
Which
Miami
is.
could put up 100.
It's crazy that they. What you know? What's crazy? You know what? Florida State could have had Cam Ward.
Yeah, and so could
Cam
Ohio
Ward
State.
wanted. Cam Ward wanted Florida. No, but Cam Ward wanted to go to Florida State first.
Really?
He was waiting, but they were waiting on the DJU stuff.
I don't understand that.
And then once DJU committed to Florida State. That's when Cam Ward declared for the NFL draft as
Yeah, then
a negotiating thing, and then he ended up at Miami.
yeah. It's crazy, like that he ended up in I mean, Miami's still like Miami, but you know, a lot of those teams that, like the I don't know, like the better teams that were going after transfer like quarterbacks, like Notre Dame, like why would Riley Leonard over trying to get Cam Ward or something like that?
All right, I'm really interested if Notre Dame's gonna go to the portal again for his starting quarterback.
Like, why don't you just try and find a recruit? Like, I don't know.
Well, so Pitt had a four-star quarterback committed to them for a long time. He ended up flipping to Notre Dame, and he hasn't touched the fucking field.
How old is he?
He's like he was a redshirt freshman either last year or a true freshman last year, and he's either a redshirt freshman or a redshirt sophomore this year.
Maybe he will play next year.
Or maybe he's just not as good as he thought.
Yeah.
I mean, if Notre Dame goes back to the portal again after, like, why if you're a high school quarterback, why are you gonna go to Notre Dame?
Yeah, I know, because you're never gonna play.
Like, I feel like teams who like invest like in the portal, like,
I
why?
think that's the one position where you can't just go to the portal.
Yeah, like. Like if I'm a high school quarterback, I'm not going to Notre Dame.
Yeah.
If someone in the portal is just gonna come in and get the job,
Yeah, some average Joe.
yeah, it's like who's it gonna be next year? They're gonna have, oh my God,
They're gonna have Sluka.
Sluka's gonna be Notre Dame's quarterback next year. Holy shit, that's crazy.
Now he's going to Pitt once Holstein transfers to Notre Dame.
I hope not. Dude, holy shit. Sluka's gonna be. Dude, imagine if Sluka actually goes to Notre Dame.
I mean, that would be their biggest mistake yet.
That'd be crazy. Let's get into SMU minus 11.5 at Duke. I mean, SMU's firing right now, dude. What I said in
Yeah.
the preseason, they're playing like what I said in the preseason, but all it took was They're running a two quarterback system. Guess what? They stopped doing it. They went with Jennings, and now Jennings is like, dude, he's electric back there. I'm really, whenever Pitt matches up with SMU next week, he's gonna
torch the defense.
Just because he's high, he's one of the highest rated quarterbacks in college against the blitz. He's got dangerous legs. He's always, but he's like, when he's outside of the pocket, it's not like he's just gonna run. Like, he's looking downfield.
Yeah.
He's dangerous, man.
Yeah, and it's against a Duke team who I really don't think is very good either. I love SMU.
Yeah, I like this as well. If this game was like noon, maybe, like,
you'd feel a lot better, are you saying?
If it was noon, I'd say I'd go.
Oh. Yeah.
I just can't miss LSU at A&M.
Yeah.
It's a tough spot. LSU at A&M, Newsheimer versus Wegman.
I feel like they're two very even teams.
The problem is why'd LSU and A&M have to drop one early in the season?
Yeah, I know.
It'd be totally different, man. And the team that LSU lost to wasn't that good, man.
Neither was Texas A&M, really. I mean, Notre Dame has been winning, but...
Yeah, they're like, both teams should be sitting here undefeated, and this game wouldn't mean as much. But sitting here with one loss, like, it's going to be...
It's still, like, they could drop this and still be in the SEC championship.
Yeah, I know, but, all right, they're going to match up against Georgia in the SEC championship game and lose.
Yeah. But then, if they do that, they have three losses. Do you put in a two-loss, say, Ole Miss or something? You know, like, I don't know.
It's like, how are you going to put another SEC team above the two teams in the conference championship?
Yeah, because there's no sides anymore. It doesn't matter.
Yeah, it's just weird because, so you're going to punish this team for losing a game, and then this team wasn't good enough to reach the conference championship, so you're going to put them ahead of the team who lost in the conference championship, and now they have three losses, but they played in the conference championship, and really they would have only had two losses if they didn't play.
It doesn't make any sense.
What are we doing here? I mean, shit, maybe we get rid of conference championship games.
I don't know. Pick an extra week.
Maybe we only have regular season champs. Oh, and then you have 20 teams with the same record. It's like, I just don't know, man.
Yeah. It's going to be interesting.
I just don't know. And
I feel like that's a fun in it, though.
Yeah, it's just like, what are you gaining from the conference? Like, obviously, it's not going to happen anytime soon because Michigan,
you get the bye.
Michigan is dog water, all right? But, like, say in a world where Michigan and Ohio State play week 12, then they play conference championship the week after, like, kind of nullifies it.
Yeah, but if you... Depends.
Like, it's never going to happen anytime soon. Like, this team, Michigan's team might win two games next year. Like, I swear to God, they might win two games next year.
Yeah, it just depends how good the rest of the conference is.
But, all right, why not switch Ohio State-Michigan week one?
Put it week one?
Week one, opening week.
Because it's a tradition, man. They got to play on Thanksgiving weekend.
The tradition is done in college football. Tradition's whopped.
Yeah, I mean, I don't know why they can't just play it as a regular game in, like, week four or five or something like that.
Play it week one.
Why week one? That's terrible.
Week one, opening week, like, on the, like...
Who wants to watch week one Ohio State, Michigan?
What do you mean?
I'd rather watch it later in the year when they're both clicking.
Michigan ain't going to be clicking for a while.
Okay, then they just suck in general.
Alright, well, like, I agree, like, you can't throw out the tradition of it being the last game, but, like, I'm just trying to throw out solutions here.
Yeah, I mean, that you're going to fall into that problem, like, this isn't going to be the first time it happens.
Yeah.
When teams play a good team at the end of the year.
Well, I'm not saying good, I'm saying, like, a team, like, we're going to see it this year. Army's going to play in the conference championship.
Well, that's even weirder.
and then they're going to play a week after in December, and then the week after they're going to play in the playoffs. Like, that's...
That's just all they care. Like, but they could still win the conference and knock it in.
Well, yeah, because UNLV is going to have something to say about it.
It's just going to be weird how they judge the group of five, too.
Yeah, let's get into Penn State at Wisconsin. Talk to me about the game.
This game kind of makes me nervous, but I feel a little better that they're coming off a bye. I feel like this is a game that Nick Singleton and Catron Allen just take over. They need to get a lead. Like, you can't start off slow in this game and let them run the ball.
It's gonna be a one possession game at half. I'm telling you right now.
Yeah, they got to start fast for once. Like, you can't let Wisconsin get some momentum at home, being in the game, still running the ball.
Yeah, I guess we'll see.
Make them pin their ears back and pass, and you can just rush the quarterback.
I want to take Penn State in this spot, man, but I just can't do it.
I'm still taking them. I take them every week, but
I could see a world where they blow the doors off Wisk.
No, I can't do like. You just gotta make them pass so you can pin your ears back and rush the passer.
I don't know though. That's a weird spot. It's like a kind of look ahead game, look ahead week.
Yeah, but I don't think you can look ahead after a bye. Like, you know what I mean?
Yeah, but all right, I got a question. In that bye week, you think that they're using that extra week to prep for Wisconsin, or they're using that extra week to watch more film on OSU?
The coaches are watching OSU, but
yeah,
the players are prepping for Wisconsin.
Yeah, but the coaching staff's definitely watching OSU film.
Oh yeah, definitely. And they're probably watching both, just staying there all night, to be honest.
Yeah, I mean, that's the coach life. I mean, they'd be watching film on those teams in the off season, you know, all year round. But in that extra week, I think they're definitely gearing up for OSU a little bit.
Yeah, I mean, Wisconsin is clicking now, too. Since the new quarterback came in versus Bama, they're a totally different team.
Yeah, but, all right, I'll be honest. I haven't really watched Wisconsin like that. And what terms are they? Like, what defines clicking in Wisconsin?
Like, they're scoring 40 points.
23-3 against Northwestern, 42-7 against Rutgers, 52-6 against Purdue, 38-21 USC. All right, let's just take a look at the stat line.
I mean, they're running the ball, like
14 of 24, 160, one TD. I mean, let's see.
That's what I'm saying. You gotta get it. You can't come out slow and let them just be able to run the ball the whole game.
So Tawee Walker, 23 carries, 126. Dupree, 11 carries, 40 yards. Lock, 5 for 12. Dude, that's kind of messed up that they ain't giving Yak as many carries since he's fumbled.
Yeah.
I mean, he's got...
He had a touchdown last week.
According to this, he's never fumbled.
Just against Bama.
I know, but according to this, he's never fumbled.
No, he scored it 2 weeks in a row, I think.
Yeah. Little goal line back. speed to the outside.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm interested in this game a little bit, obviously.
It could be, like, a really good game.
Yeah. All right. You have any other remarks?
I mean, I think our secondary is going to have two picks, and we're going to run the ball. Be able to run the ball effectively and just kind of control the game.
All right, well, let's get into some gambling. I'm sitting 37-22, and boy, oh boy, do I have a card for you this week. Starting tomorrow night, Pitt, ooh, God damn it, Pitt -6.5 versus Syracuse. Kind of talked about it a little bit. I think this is a major get-back game after being embarrassed last year by losing to a team that couldn't even throw the ball. I got Pitt here in a good spot. UNLV money line +138 as a proud Rebel graduate alum from their online university. I will always ride the Rebels. I think they have more ways to win than Boise State, and I think that they get it done in Viva Las Vegas. Indiana -6.5 versus Washington. Work being out, doesn't matter. Cignetti means business all the time. I will ride this guy. I'll ride with Indiana here, and I'll ride with Cignetti, and I think they get it done big here with game day coming to town. I think they should be focused. Hopefully they don't lose focus and get caught slipping, or else their season could be done within a snap of a finger. As Cignetti said, he didn't come here to be anything but the best. So, LSU, money line, +114 against A&M. I mean, I think this is my third or fourth time betting on LSU, and I'm just going to keep on doing it. Neuheimer can really sling it. They got weapons on the outside. They got that middle linebacker who's been flying around. I forget his name. It might be Wheels or something like that.
Their defense is playing a lot better since South Carolina.
Yep. And then I just added SMU -11.5. I love Jennings. I was high on this SMU team preseason, and they're really showing me that they deserved all that praise in the preseason.
Yeah, I mean, that's it.
What do you mean that's it? That's 1, 2, that's 5 games.
You've had 8 games every week.
Yeah, but I picked my spots this week in games I really like.
Yeah, I actually like
because I really wanted a lot this week. I really wanted to add BYU money line, but I talked myself out of it.
I actually really like the board a lot this week. More like I don't feel like in between game. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
SMU -11.5. I got. Well, we already talked about that. Penn State -6.5. I really do think Nick Singleton's gonna have a game. They're kind of just gonna break this game open. Ole Miss -20.5. They're playing against Oklahoma. I don't know how they don't beat them by more than 20. They can't even score. And the Ole Miss coming off a bye. Their last game was against the LSU game. I feel like that's just a get back. Texas A&M -2.5. I'm taking Texas A&M. I feel like LSU and A&M are pretty even, so I'm just rolling with the home team. Miami -20.5. Florida State. I mean, they can't move the ball at all, and Miami can put up 50. Illinois +21.5. I really do think Illinois is going to keep it within the number the entire game. Have a few couple good scoring drives where they just burn clock. Texas -18.5 against Vandy. Don't I think they're going to blow Vandy out. Vandy is not very good.
Don't even say the last one. Save yourself.
And then West Virginia money line. for the third week in a row. Against Arizona. I just feel like this is a game they win. They're going to start winning now, watch, and just buy another year of Neil Brown.
Buy another year of Neil Brown. I heard Saban's coming to town. That's what I heard. Yeah.
Saban and Jimbo.
I heard they're building quite a staff out there on the cheap because all these ex-coaches love West Virginia, that they're just gonna take West Virginia friendly deals, you know, and they're not gonna get their high paying salary, because West Virginia is gonna be broke once they have to pay out to Neil buyout. So that's gonna be interesting. I mean, I'm honestly interested if Neil buys himself another year.
Yeah, I feel like he's gone either way, kind of. But
I feel like he's back next year. I guarantee.
Really, just because the buyout's too high?
I guarantee you he's back next year.
Yeah, he very well could, just because if they win, like, finish the season well, they're going to keep him.
It's not even that. I went down their new AD, Leslie's, like, track record, and he doesn't fire coaches.
Really? Yeah, I don't know. It'll be interesting because, like, their next 4 games or 5 games are really like winnable. Like they're not tough games.
It's just crazy to me that this guy's gonna skate by again and have another year on the job after he's proven I don't think he's the guy for the job.
Yeah, I don't know.
Oh, Ren Baker's their DC. Leslie's their DC.
That's what I was saying. Like Leslie, I don't think that's it.
Sorry guys, Leslie is their DC. Ren Baker's their new AD or whatever.
He likes to spend money though. So
who?
Baker.
What do you mean?
Like he's been spending a lot of money in the basketball team, man. I think now he's starting to spend a lot in the football team too.
Yeah, but they had like think about their big transfers this year. It was those DBs. It was the DB from Northwestern.
Yeah, I know. Yeah, I mean he's paying them though.
Yeah, but supposedly they only raised $5 million this year. Their collective.
Really?
That's what the spreadsheet said. I don't know how accurate it is, but hey, McAfee just pledged $1 million.
Yeah.
We'll see. I'll have to get in contact with Pitt's NIL Alliance, you know.
Yeah, take out a loan.
All right, guys. I guess if you want Genty to come back for one more year and transfer to Pitt, I guess. Bro, is Rita senior?
I think so.
Is he a senior?
I believe so, but I could be wrong.
Class junior.
He's a junior. I can't believe he's staying healthy, though.
Well, they held him out of the Youngstown State game.
Yeah, yeah.
Then we've had like two byes, so he's really had like 3 weeks off, really. Dude, I am telling, bro. You might have to put it on a Heisman ticket for Reed next year.
That's crazy.
I mean, Holstein.
Holstein?
For next year?
Yeah, okay.
This team's gonna cause some issues next year, I'm telling you.
We'll see if they all stay together.
Yeah, I'm interested in that. I mean, I'm really interested in this Clemson game. A little look ahead to Clemson. I think Pitt's going to have to score 50 points.
Yeah, because their defense is going to go up 60.
I keep on saying that about their defense, but...
Yeah, they haven't been that bad.
I mean, it's just like bend, don't break type. I mean, 24 against Kent State, but really the offense... Really, that was 14 points to special teams and offense surrendered. So, really, that was only 10 to Kent.
Yeah.
27 against Cincinnati wasn't pretty because Cincinnati
the real bad game was just West Virginia.
Yeah, but West Virginia, they won.
Yeah, I know. I'm not saying, like, I'm just saying that was their bad game.
I know. I mean, dude, the schedule, man. This schedule is scary. They might finish 6-6.
Who?
Pitt.
Good.
Syracuse, SMU, Virginia, Clemson, Louisville, Boston. Oh, man. All right, guys. You got anything you want to wrap?
No.
All right, guys. That's going to wrap us up here from your favorite show without an outro. Peace. See you next week. Catch us on YouTube and Spotify at Ball Sticks and Fists.